This is a Christian Science prayer treatment from the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, website mbeinstitute.org. It is suggested that you listen to the 3-minute audio, which is an introduction to the Institute and to Christian Science. The topic of this prayer treatment is God, all-knowing. Mary Baker Eddy had a few of her top students living with her in her home. This was for the purpose of giving them very direct education, and by the end of their stay in the home, they would have earned a CSD degree, Doctorate of Christian Science. One of the students in her home for many years was Laura Sargent. One day she asked Laura, "Do you sometimes forget?" Laura immediately replied, "Mind never forgets." She was thinking of the definition of God, which says that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. God, as mind, includes the qualities of all intelligence, all wisdom, and all knowing, as well as all creative ability, all capability, functionality, facility. Omnipotence, omnipresence, omniaction. Omniaction means that there could not be any overaction or underaction because God is omni, which means one, only, and all. And with also being omni-intelligence, intelligence would not make a mistake. It would not overreact or underreact. Everything about God is already established and perfect. The only real substance is spirit. And spirit and substance is defined as flawless, transparent, and reflective. Since God is all-knowing, what is it you think that we as individuals, and Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 says that we are made in the image and likeness of God. Of course, that is after we have to open our consciousness to the truth, because before it says, "And God made man in his image and likeness," it says, "And let us make man in our image and after our likeness." So we have to open the consciousness to the truth about who God is, or what God is, and what we are. We have to claim our heritage as being daughters and sons of God, the true child of God, whereby we are following our master, our God, our originator. God is incorporeal, so God could not be Jesus or any other person that appeared in the flesh. The best that one can think of about someone in the flesh is their spiritual qualities. And we all have them. And that's the only qualities we should think of when we think of an individual. We should identify people with what we see as their best qualities, and know at the same time that they are complete and they're not missing any qualities, because not a single one of God's ideas can miss a single quality. And no quality can be diluted, deflected, deficient. And they can never express a stoppage in their quality. because God is omni-action, and omni-action is always continuously active. The Bible says we should pray without ceasing. We should be active without ceasing. Our action should be mental. And if, of course, that needs to be expressed in a physical way, so-called, then that's what we should be doing. We can't be like was referring to when he said, evil triumphs when good men do nothing. We all have a constant obligation to be continuously doing good things. Mary Baker Eddy says, the good we do and embody is the only power obtainable. We want to build up as much power as we can. And of course, that is spiritual power. And the way we do that is by following the golden rule and doing good unto others, everyone, and thinking only good about every event. Since we are supposed to be reflecting God, and God is all-knowing, what of the knowing of God should we be reflecting? If we have friction with an individual, and God is all-knowing, does God know about that friction? Is God a God of friction? Or a God of principle? A God of principle is one of balance and harmony. No friction in that. Also, God is omni-intelligent, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. So would there be intelligence in God being involved in friction? Because that's totally opposed to the nature of God. There is nothing in the definition of God that gives any clue that God is a God of chaos or friction in any way, shape, or form. When Laura Sargent responded by saying, mind never forgets, one could also say that mind never remembers anything except perfection. Mind could not remember chaos or defect, anything at all that is unlike God Himself. We provided a treatment recently that was entitled Debit and Credit, and it was explained that a debit means that we have a debt, and a credit means that we have paid a debt. What debt could we have from a spiritual viewpoint? Any physical thing we own that we have not shared with others. What possibly credit could we be given credit for? Anything at all that we did that was embodying good power, which means that we were doing good things for others. As Mary Baker Eddy said, the good we do and embody gives us the only power obtainable. What have we done and what do we embody in the way of goodness? The definition of good in the glossary, page 587 of the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, states that good is God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omni-action. Is having ill feelings about another idea of God a debit or a credit? It's a big debit. huge. We have to do a lot to neutralize that debit. For starters, what happens when we condemn someone? We're setting up ourselves as being required to reverse our thought. We cannot have any ill feelings about anyone and be reflecting spirit, which is the only substance. On the contrary, we would be reflecting matter and mortal mind, evil, criticism, you name it. Criticism is the term that Dr. Fluno, one of Mary Baker Eddy's early lecturers, stated that it leads to all evil and prevents healing, prevents progress. Wow. Criticism is something that we should not touch with a 10-foot pole or a 1-millimeter pole or a 1-million-meter pole. We don't even want to come close to thinking about evil as being real, let alone attaching it to an individual that we think deserves it. Are we the judge and the jury? Are we the creator of the law of justice? Are we going to make sure that justice is brought about because we're going to administer it personally? That really opened the door for major mistakes. Major. Mary Baker Eddy states that infinite progression is concrete being. She also stresses the importance of compounding. The introductory quote to page 14, which is the chapter entitled Recapitulation, which is a summary of chapters 1 through 13, she states the quote from Isaiah, which says, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, one step at a time. The turtle and the rabbit had a race. The rabbit took off like fire. He got tired immediately, laid along the side of the road to sleep. In the meantime, the turtle passed by and got to the finish line, being the victor. Do we know the pace that we should be running if we're running in a track event? It should be the pace that was designed by the coach for us to run, whatever that is. And whether we win or lose doesn't matter. Did we exercise the discipline to pace exactly what the coach said to do? I would say yes. If we followed the discipline, we would pace exactly what the coach said to do, and we don't even look at another individual on the track, because our situation is our situation. We're not running the race of the one to the left or the right of us or ahead of us or behind us. We're running our race. And the race is against perfection. We're always striving for perfection. That's the only thing we care about, perfection. Nothing else. If we're going to exercise the all-knowing capability of God, we're going to practice only remembering good things. No criticism. No evil in any form. Otherwise, we're off the track. The first quote in Science and Health are the words of Jesus quoted in the Gospel of John. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We know that truth is without mistake, or it wouldn't be true. Error is all mistake. If we want to be living truth, we cannot be living any mistake. If we live any quality, or rather absence of quality, of God, then we need to nurture that to a more full representation of our thought, speech, and action. We need to be expressing in thought, speech, and action our highest understanding of God's qualities all the time. Pray without ceasing. We never stop. All the time, we must be expressing God's qualities. In Unity of Good, Mary Baker Eddy wrote an article called Love Your Enemies. The very first story in the chapter in Science and Health on Christian Science Practice is about Mary Magdalene. That is forgiveness and love. Love your enemies, obviously, is about love, not hate. The very first definition in Recapitulation must be the most important statement in the whole textbook, because she put it as the very first question, which is summarizing chapters 1 to 13, and she gives us the qualities of God: incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Where in there does it discuss about chaos or friction or resentment or criticism? You can't get there from here. You can't get there. There's not a single quality of God that is unlike perfection, unlike love, unlike intelligence. If we're going to practice the knowing of God, we can't be knowing anything about an individual that has any defects. When Jesus passed by a blind man and he asked him, do you have faith you can be healed? And we know the answer, because Jesus healed him. The people that lived in Galilee didn't have any special opinion about Jesus. So he did not stay there very long, because healings were not successful, because they didn't have their thought open to a spiritual realm. They thought he was no different than any other individual. If we're going to be remembering anything, it has to be the omni-goodness of God, the omni-goodness of Spirit, the omni-goodness of omnipotence and omniscience, and omnipresence and omni-action. here is a tactic that came to the surface when I was contemplating the topic of this prayer treatment. All of the prayer treatments from the Mary Baker Eddy Institute are extemporaneous, but they are prompted probably from something that occurred to us before there was any dictation speaking into the microphone. Before I started talking about the topic that God is all-knowing, a thought occurred to me about someone that I felt had made a mistake. And it involved myself. I had purchased something, and before I did, I asked them what their return policy or customer satisfaction policy was. And they said, if you have a problem with anything, bring it back. We'll give you your money back. So I thought, well, that's the kind of thing that is representing the golden rule. So I made the purchase, and it was not good. It was defective. So I took it back my next shopping trip a week later. And I bought a goodly portion of other things that they had there. And then when they gave me the bill, I said, would you please give me credit for this item here that I bought last week because it's defective. They were really surprised that I would be asking for a refund. Now, the one that told me about the customer satisfaction and so forth is a different individual. He was in another part of the building. But I figured that all of them would be treating their customers the same way. Well, the individual that I paid and wanted to get the refund from for this small amount said, I'm sorry, but we don't give refunds. None. It doesn't matter whether you come back the same day or some period in the future. They simply don't give refunds. So I found the other individual that had said that, yes, we give customer satisfaction, and if you're unhappy with anything, bring it in and we'll give you your money back. Well, I asked him for the refund. He said, we can't give you a refund for this. I said, why not? He said, we don't give refunds. I said, but you told me recently when I asked you about your policy, you said that you want customer satisfaction. And so you will give a refund if anything is unsatisfactory. He said, we don't do that. Why? He acted totally differently now than he did before, is only an example of evil trying to separate two of God's ideas. Evil is trying to place a separation between one idea of God and another one. If you're working on something really important, it is almost guaranteed that you're going to have an effort of mortal mind, so-called, to wedge between you and God. One of the great advantages of Christian Science is that it is preventative as well as curative. It's available in a so-called past, present, or future. we have to do the protective work to our consciousness to make that come about. And when we do, we will see various ways that are symbols that it was effective, that our work of preventative was effective. It will be illustrated uniquely for each individual and each circumstance. Just affirm to yourself that when you are doing protective work for a point in the future, so-called, that it will be effective. Frederick L. Rawson discovered how to treat back in time. There's a movie called Back to the Future. And that's where this very interesting individual invented a car that would go back to the future. Obviously, this was fantasy land, as Kurt Russell describes movies versus real life. But it was a fun movie to watch, and it was a comedy. I saw it when it came out many years ago. In the UK, Frederick L. Rawson, who is a native of the UK and a very excellent Christian Scientist, said that they used to teach in the advanced levels of school there that there is no time. Unfortunately, they apparently are not teaching that anymore, because he stated in a way that they did it previously to his formal education. But when he discovered how to treat back in time, he tells you in his book, Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, exactly how he did it. And not only did he just do it, but he changed his practice of Christian Science healing to apparently do it for every single customer. Practitioners call their individuals that come to them for services patients. So he did it for every one of his patients. And in his book, he states that he did it over 500 times. He, as well as Wentworth Winslow and Joel Goldsmith, accepted a schedule of 15 minutes per client, per patient. And in that 15 minutes, they transformed the thought enough to neutralize the problem and bring forth a healing. Here is a very valuable piece of information. Everything you give is yours to keep forever. You always have it. The more you give, the more you have it. But if you have a debt that you don't give, then you have a big problem, because that distracts from everything you give. It's clear that we need to have a life of giving and not of taking, because taking is a debit. Giving is a credit. We need to strive in our infinite progression, striving for concrete being, to be only giving. One of the more popular writers of fiction, although he writes documentaries, he earns several million dollars every time he writes a book. He lives in the Northwest in a low population area in a very private place away from other individuals, homes and businesses and so forth. And he said the most pleasure he has is when he has very low amount of debits. He didn't describe it as debits. He just said nothing that anyone would want to steal. He said, then I'm free to be creative and write the stories that I write that sell so many books. He said, when I have a large amount, which of course is immediately after he receives payment for a book, he said, it's a real problem to me. I cannot focus on what I love doing. It showed, as a part of the documentary, him receiving a phone call from a university. And when he hung up the phone, he was just smiling ear to ear. And he told his wife, they accepted our proposed donation. He's implying that there were restrictions, probably how they used the money. Maybe they had to provide him receipts. But he was so pleased that they agreed to accept his donation. He understood the difference between a debit and a credit. Andrew Carnegie built an empire of businesses. One of the primary ones was steel. And he sold the company to a group of investors, and they named it U.S. Steel. And after that sale was made, he had about $350 million. And this was back around 1900, 125 years ago. So he then devoted the next many years to giving it away. Now, he was very wise and did not give the money, but he utilized the money to build things which would be of assistance to all of society. He built things like a university, many different libraries, Carnegie Hall, some of the greatest talents in the world have performed there in the arts, music. Although it's wonderful that he took his wealth and gave 90% of it away, one step that would improve what he did was to make his gifts anonymous and not have his name with anything, but have a generic name. Some people make gifts in order to get credit and recognition. Now, I don't know anything about him, but I'm just saying that when we give something, we should strive to give in an anonymous way as much as possible. There are a variety of ways that that can be done, and we need to be intelligent in the way we give. Healing is dependent upon living a life of giving. Because if we're not loving, which of course is symbolized by giving, then we cannot receive. And that's exactly what we do when we're receiving a healing. We're receiving. We have a website page called Heal Anything. And you can reach it by clicking on the link that says those two words that is at the top of every single page on the website. And it describes in great detail a system that we guarantee will work. And in the very early part of the text, it makes a very strong statement that the first thing we need to do is to realize that our life needs to be a life of giving. And the second thing it mentions that is of great importance is that we must pray every hour of the day at least once. So if we are up 18 hours, we should have 18 times that we pray. And in addition, we have 3 times in the time that we're awake that we should pray for all humanity specifically. Now, the hourly prayer is intended to be devoted to making sure that we have no ill thoughts about anyone. Period. Not allowed. If we have an ill thought about anyone, how in the world are we going to be following what it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26? And let us make man in the image and likeness of God. We can't do it. The image and likeness of God is one of perfection. It's about perfect qualities, about every thought, speech, and action being an example of the greatest Christian scientist of all time, Christ Jesus, to start with, Mary Baker Eddy, and these 3 authors I mentioned. And there's others. I refer to those because we have their writings. We need to be very broad and comprehensive in cultivating a character of giving. Give the benefit of the doubt. That's giving. In fact, Dale Carnegie, the last name is the same as Andrew, but I don't believe they have any family ties. Dale Carnegie said, "Never express a strong opinion of disagreement with someone else. Often, someone will gain additional information and reverse their position. So it's better to leave strong opinions in the closet." Dale Carnegie said, "Write them down and put them in a filing cabinet. In fact, he said that about any problem that you cannot seem to overcome. Write it down, get it off your chest, but then put it in a file cabinet. And then go back and look at it 6 months later. In his day, they didn't have computers, but you can write it up on a text document, or you can record it in a recording, an MP3, or whatever you want to do. But don't express it. Because when you express it, you can never take it back. It will be remembered, even if you say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Evil will probably say with the other person using their mouth, look at that ridiculous fool. Ha, what a clever thing he's trying to do to reverse now what he said. We knew he made a big mistake. That's just an example of what may be taking place in the thoughts of another. There are 1,440 moments, minutes, in a day. By the way, a moment is not equivalent to a minute. There is no time factor or no weight that goes with a moment. It is simply the shortest amount of time. Mary Baker Eddy states that the difference between success and failure is often due to how we utilize the moments. If we think about a moment not being able to be divided, then there are an infinite number of them in any 24-hour period. Play a game with yourself. Every time you have a moment, make a conscious effort to decide what you're going to do with it. If you're in an office atmosphere, it could be walking to the drinking fountain, or going to the restroom, or just getting oriented, unpacking your things from whatever you brought with you, turning the computer on, waiting for the screen to fill up. If we really treasure progress, then we will want to cultivate the use of every moment. Let us all strive, each one individually, at whatever level of thought they are, to think about the word knowing and decide what you want to know, what you're going to spend your time knowing. Every evil has its counterfact, which is what Jesus states in the very first quote. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Mary Baker Eddy's final class in the Metaphysical College was conducted in 1898. And in that class, everyone that was there was invited individually by her. And when they completed that class successfully, they were certified with the degree of CSD, as noted, which she also certified those who lived with her in her home when she had felt they had reached the progress level to be certified with the CSD degree. In our giving, It must include giving credit to everyone from which we have gained anything. It could be a word, it could be a sentence, some kind of spiritual inspiration. Or it could be anything in our life. Just being grateful and expressing it the best way we know how. I shall now read one of the Diapason of Heaven treatments in which Mary Baker Eddy states that we should repeat them often. Here it is. And by the way, there's one for each of the seven terms for God. And I will select one of them and read it right now. And that will be the termination, the end, the conclusion of this extemporaneous prayer treatment on the topic God, all-knowing. Since knowing as a quality of mind, I shall read the Diapason of Heaven on mind. We can declare often, Divine mind is my mind, and my mind is God. God is my mind, and my mind is good. I have an intelligent mind, a good mind, a wise mind, perceptive, discerning mind, a clear mind, a joyous, happy mind. Mind is God, all acting, all wise, all loving, all knowing, all seeing. Divine mind is enthroned in my consciousness. Mortal mind and matter and personal sense are not enthroned. Ignorance and apathy and materiality are not enthroned in my consciousness. Good is my mind, and my mind is good. Mind is my God, and my mind is good. Divine mind is enthroned. This is the Word of God. Amen. It is presently 25:05:27 at 13:34. The topic, God, all-knowing. The end.